Hi, this is the Dark Tangent. The speech you're about to listen to is recorded at DEF CON 4 at the Monte Carlo Casino and Resort, freshly built in 1996. Copyright, all right reserves, except permission is expressly granted for non-profit educational use. Now sit back and relax. If you have any questions, please contact me at dtangent@defcon.org or visit our website, www.defcon.org. Thank you, and kick back and relax.
Thanks. Let me first talk a little bit about, this is going to be an unpopular discussion, I'm pretty sure. Basically, the title is, you can't do what I do if you do what you do. And let me tell a little bit about the history of this and also why that survey came out. Initially, what happened was I wanted to hire a hacker, one of the more infamous ones, one you all go, my master, my master, my master to. And it just did not fly for various reasons. And it kind of pissed me off. I mean, yes, I cursed out my managers and all that sort of stuff. They got upset with me, but they can't do too much about that. Then also what happened was I started talking to other hackers, again, the more noted ones. And I guess I hate to do this, but you know, the previous presentation started to focus in on hackers as the future of humanity type stuff, romanticizing going out and hacking. And the people I've spoke to who have been the brunt of investigations against the FBI and all that sort of stuff, they're not happy about those things. You know, the teenagers coming up like to hear this, that, you know, what they're trying to do is the future, that they are going to be the leaders of tomorrow and all that sort of stuff. But you're really romanticizing what's still considered to be a federal felony. And again, that's not that is not a good thing. You know, there are repercussions for it, and that's essentially what this is. Additionally, what else do I have here? I'm not sure, how many people ever heard of the I-4? It's Don Parker, anybody ever hear of him? Yeah. Well, anyway, let's just say Don Parker not only doesn't like you, he doesn't like what I do either, because I'm not being the quintessential computer professional sitting there like with my suit just going in doing hands-off security audits. Because again, basically he does the I-4 and he gets in front of people and says, hackers are evil, if you hang out with the dirt, you're dirty yourself. That's kind of the quote. And again, he gets down on the NCSA, sponsored the Information Warfare Conference for the last few years, and he told people to boycott our conferences because we had to meet the hacker session. So again, this is the type of situation that you're being confronted with when you're trying to go out there and, like, you know, this is what these people are being confronted with. A little bit about what I do now, and again, it's like, you can't do what I do if you do what you do. Primarily, companies hire me for various services, most notably to simulate industrial espionage attacks against them. I also investigate crimes and help to prevent the future crimes. I should say I'm not there to prevent hackers. People don't pay my rates to track down a hacker. They end up paying my rates to track down multi-million dollar crimes. And just in the process, guess what I end up having to do? Just to try to prove that these people aren't criminals, or criminals in the true sense. Anyway, let me try to just stop. I don't have an overhead. Oh, good. Anyway, let me stall for a little while longer. Also, I do, a lot of people know me for social engineering. Actually, Wynn said I'm the best social engineer at the conference, and I guess here that's a pretty big honor. Doug was mentioning yesterday that there are people here that just walk into a company and walk out with a few million dollars by the end of the day. That's me. Doug can tell me if it's right or wrong. I'm still stalling. I should also say the audience for my presentation is primarily, it's not people like, you know, Cult of the Dead Cow. These are people that, the Cult of the Dead Cow seem to be people that have operating systems, look through source codes. They're not out there just trying to get access for the sake of proving that they're not losers. This presentation's not for them. It's also not for the people that don't really want anything to do with the legitimate profession. I'm not here to try to change anybody's minds. What I'm here to do is try to stop people from getting too far involved with the dark side of the force, for lack of a better term, to try to prevent it. Still stalling? Okay. Okay, basically, let me start with the unpopular thing, and this is from my observations and my personal feeling. Just to get it out of the way so people don't accuse me of being, you know, condoning hackers or anything like that, which I definitely don't want to be considered condoning, hacking in general, and when I'm talking about hacking, I'm talking about trying to gain unauthorized access to computers, in my opinion, is wrong. It is a federal felony, and you will be charged with it if people actually catch you and they have nothing better to do. Hopefully they do have a lot better things to do, because most of the time they really don't have a clue. Also, from what I've seen, a lot of hackers I've witnessed, and again, just by watching other actions, have caused damage. They've done stupid things. I mean, I've seen a person break into a financial transfer system, and the only thing he could think of doing is putting a where site on it. I mean, you're committing a major felony there, and for the sake of putting a new where site up. And again, that's wrong. He doesn't want to go ahead and put the information, you know, he's not causing damage, but then lo and behold, somebody else goes in and does a delete star dot star on the system. That caused damage. Big thing is, we took it off. Big thing, and this is going to be, this is my big thing about hackers, because you're out there trying to show there are hackers which are really out there not to do any harm, which are just there for the curiosity. Unfortunately, there's a significant percentage of people that, you know, for example, wrote into 2600 Magazine, hey, I got access to a modem connection and I did delete star dot star. And, you know, Emmanuel Goldstein wrote back, you moron, you cretin, you whatever. You know, that's the hacker ethic, to go ahead and not do any harm. But the problem is, if you do notice somebody doing harm, you know, you're called a narc, and the worst thing a hacker could do, according to all hackers I've spoke to, is to narc on somebody. And if you want to get legitimacy for the hacker profession or the hacker mode of operation, you've got to go ahead and police yourselves. If you're not doing that, you know, one hacker causing a problem is seen as all hackers. Again, I'm still stalling here, but anyway. Yeah, go. Which value am I talking about? I'm not saying it is. But the difference between Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King is that they can get a few million people to fill up the Washington Mall. You're not going to, I don't see 50,000, even if you get every hacker on the face of the earth, 50,000 people on the Washington Mall is a blip, is a drop in the bucket, and you have all these headlines which are driving me crazy, and that's why I got this survey together, cyber terrorism, information warfare, hackers cause millions of dollars in damage, hacker $400 million blackmailing attempts, things like that. Yeah, but again, the whole point is that, because I'm sitting here, and again, I've spoke to Senator Nunn's committee on the Cyberspace Protection Force or whatever he's doing. I've spoken to Moynihan's committee on protecting and reducing government secrecy, whatever that's coming out with. And all these people want to hear about are the threats. They just want to hear that cyberspace is up for grabs. They want to hear that teenagers can go ahead and destroy major computer systems. That's what the surveys are out there to show. And if you look at any of the headlines, are the headlines saying that 98% of all these attacks are preventable? The answer is no. The hype is out there, the general public is out there to see that anybody with the evil to try to hack a computer is evil and should be punished. And that is, are we stalling enough or is it still gone its way? We could, okay, well anyway, keep going. No, honestly, people are not selling enough information services and security and stuff like that. I walk into companies that are total jokes. I'm talking about somebody, well, I was on the radio and somebody called up and said, I'm considering putting myself on a website. Can you examine the security? Here's $300. I'm like, yeah, right. But anyway, I had nothing better to do, and they got it bumped up to $500. I said, I'll do 2 hours worth of work on it. I called up the people whose site it was, and they said, yeah, we have good security. And I just said, well, I don't know, what can I do for 2 hours? I'm like, what version of SendMail are you running? They're like, well, we have our internet service provider doing the administration, but they'll take a good care of it, right? I go, what version of SendMail? They're like, 8.6 something, is that okay? I'm like, no, you're just like 5 versions out of whack. And that's the type of security that's out there for companies that say they're doing secure access. Let me go on because there's plenty of, just to get out of the way, again, everything's wrong, blah, blah, blah. Also, I'm not here to convince you otherwise. I'm just here to let you know, again, well, what do I say? I'm not here to convince you that you're wrong or that I'm right. I'm just trying to tell you what I've observed when I've tried to help out hackers, trying to get them jobs, well, legitimate jobs and all that sort of stuff. Next slide, repercussions. And again, the big argument that comes up, it's like, well, you speed, don't you? Why is your speeding any different from me hacking? Well, whether this is fortunate or not, society says you can speed, you get a ticket, but everybody speeds, everybody gets tickets, so it's not a big problem. That's what society says. But, I mean, and nobody's going to yank my government clearance, you know, my TSSI plus clearance, because I go ahead and speed if it's not a habit. So anyway, however, there you have. However, my insurance rates will go up. That's a repercussion of speeding. And again, society isn't blaming me for it. Everybody thinks it's a joke. If I pay an extra $200, $300 every 6 months, my insurance can be canceled if I get too many. I could die if I go too fast and crash into a wall. And I probably won't be able to get a job as a school bus driver. The same way, if you get arrested for hacking, you're not going to be able to get probably a good job within the security profession. There are a lot of exceptions to this rule. Well, I shouldn't say a lot. There are a few people that start their own companies that really have the good skills. But if you think you're going to get out there and get a job because I have a criminal record, guess again, you're not. And again, it's only a hindrance. And again, what it comes down to, and in my opinion, it's all impression. And this is a big thing. Again, while speeding isn't a problem, if I go the wrong way down a one-way street, which I did, you know, they think when I went up for my security reinvestigation, that was a little bit more of a concern to them than than being pulled over for speeding a few times. Like, now, why were you going the wrong way down a one-way street? Were you drunk at the time? Blah, 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 and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, negligent driving is also not looked upon as favorably as speeding. And again, that's the same thing. It's all impression. And hacking isn't doing it. And primarily what's going on, and a lot of people don't realize this, there's a hype of information warfare. And as the hype of IW gets a lot worse, the penalties against hacking are going to get worse. Because what's going on is everybody's saying information warfare is the biggest threat to humanity right now. And guess what? You know, again, we're out there, right? You know, I was asked to write a paper for WIN for the last IW conference, how hackers are the information warriors of the future. You hear all these articles about information warfare as the biggest threat to humanity, then I get asked by people to write, hackers are the information warriors of the future. Guess what happens? Hackers are now the biggest problem of the future. And again, penalties are going to get worse. In talking to Senator Nunn's committee and the other ones, it seems like they are just going to get worse. Everybody sees, they see computer intrusions as a major problem. And I'm sure a lot of you know that the difference between just a normal hack, in other words, getting access and looking around and causing damage, is about 5 or 6 keystrokes. And that's what everybody knows, that's what Nunn's committee is being told, and it's a fact. And how are they going to go ahead and let some people off because they didn't commit those 5 or 6 keystrokes? Okay, another reality, and again I hear this from other people talking in the field and it's really annoying to me. I hear people saying, well, the hackers, yes, you are the information warriors of the future, and by God, when we go to war with somebody and we have an information war to accomplish, you're going to be called up and you're going to be called to arms to go hack our enemies. How many people have heard that? I mean, honestly, a bunch, you know. You are not going to be called to hack the future. You're not going to be called as information warriors. Because right now, I could tell you, if you ever, even if you just look at Commerce Business Daily, everything out there, every government agency tries to have information warfare in everything that goes down the pike. You know, we're doing offensive IW. They're not doing anything, well, they're, let me say, almost nothing with defensive information warfare, which is protecting the infrastructure. All the money and all the brain power is being put into compromising enemy systems, taking it down. And they have damn good people doing this. Again, they have people that design the operating systems doing this. They have people, you know, again, I know your argument with that, but they have damn good people doing this, and they're going to be a lot more effective in not just compromising the computer, but compromising the information on a computer, and they know what to do. You don't just take down computer systems haphazardly in an information war scenario. What you're trying to do is you're trying to mislead the enemy. Yes, you're going to take down some of them. Those are the ones you're not tapping. You're going to leave other ones up because, guess what, you can see what they're saying, and it makes it awfully nice. If all of a sudden hackers decide to help out and take down communication systems that we're out there relying upon for intelligence data, you've just screwed up friendly nation's intelligence. And you got to, you know, that's something to consider, because I know a lot of you would be out there if we have to go to war with Iraq or France, that's a good one, you'll be out there trying to take down their information systems. And we want some of them up just for the sake of doing it. We'll even pretend to try to take some of them down just so they think we want them down. And that's a good thing. And again, yeah, well, go ahead. Right. Again, it's not just denial of service attacks, which is what people normally attribute to information warfare. I think it would be really cool if all of a sudden you can take, let's say, Russia decides to become totally communist. Russia decides to be a communist country again and wants to blow us up. It'd be really cool if somebody could change their missile launch targeting data to point to Moscow instead of Washington, D.C. That'd be awfully helpful. And again, part of the issue is that's what people who are planning IW attacks are doing. They're thinking about this, not just damaging systems, but putting in misleading data. And that's the point that I think a lot of people, when they say we're going to call upon the hacker community to come out and, you know, and be our warriors, that's not going to happen, because there's a lot of long-term planning going into this sort of stuff. And again, they have a lot of damn good people doing it. And even though you have people like CDC that were up here yesterday that can probably get into just about any computer system in the world, they have, I mean, honestly, I could train probably a 12-year-old to get into just about any computer system in the world within a few hours as well. The issue is, what do you do once you're there? And these people know what they're doing. Yeah. No, what I am saying is, I am not saying that the hacker community is there to do damage. I know that is not what the hacker community, that's not what the hacker ethic is saying. What I am saying, right, what I'm saying is, though, I'm trying to get people not to think of themselves as the information warriors of the future. I'm trying to get people to realize that people see you as the information attackers of the future, not the warriors. And again, what I'm getting with all impression, and this is something people might be pissed off at saying, a lot of people are walking around here with those Practical Unix Terrorism t-shirts. Honestly, people see you walking through those casinos today, and it's kind of tacky to be walking through the casino with a picture of Ted Kaczynski on there with terrorism blazes across it the day after the Olympic bombing. You see, I saw an old woman walk around. Seymour, come here a second. Look at that shirt. Seymour, what is that? Then somebody walked, oh, it's just a bunch of hackers walking around. Those hackers are terrorists? Looks that way, doesn't it? That's what's going on there. You know, you've got it. It's impression. I mean, I think Seven and a few other people are out here trying to make hackers seem like we're not all that bad. but walking around with terrorism t-shirts within 2 weeks after the TWA bombing and right after the Olympic bombing is not exactly the, you know, it's not exactly putting up your best face. It's just a consideration, because again, these are these little old ladies that are going to go home and tell all their friends about it. You know, so when it comes up to hackers take down the world, Kevin Mitnick does this, whatever does that, they're going to say, oh, they're terrorists. And that's the type of stuff that you're out there. That's the reality of it. These are the people that are going to vote for or vote against laws. These are the people that are going to call up their Congress people and say, this is a good thing, or that law is really stupid, because I met a bunch of hackers at DEF CON or when they were in Las Vegas, and they were nice people. They had no intention of doing it. But no, you got a bunch of people, the visible faces, most of, I mean, they could tell a few of you, you know, aren't really hackers. Well, they don't know that a lot of you are hackers, but the ones that are walking around with terrorism t-shirts stand out on a weekend like this. And that's a fact. Anyway. Sorry. I'm really just trying to go ahead and not get you as felons, but try to... Well, anyway, go ahead. Again, these are just... Well, yeah, go ahead.
Hey, guess what? That's wrong.
Well, again, I see what the point is that there. What I guess my only point is that there is the hype out there, that people like Don Parker, when they testify in front of Congress, he's there saying, I've interviewed hundreds of hackers, and I could tell you that these are sociopathic people that are only intent in serving their own goals. They're all anarchists, and if they had their way, society as a whole would go away, and everything would be free, and all that sort of stuff. That's the type of thing that gets hacker laws really bad.
But you got two people.
I know, that's the point. I mean, that's the point. You got a few people that would take down society if they could. But the point is that it's the hype. That's the thing that gets everybody's attention. That's what makes front page headlines on USA Today. Yeah. Right.
They want the really freaky.
Right. Let me put in. Let me put in again for like DT and my study. What we're trying to do is put out like a nice big good press release that says 98% of computer hacks are preventable. That sort of stuff. That'll get media attention, and maybe it'll stop. Maybe the headlines will be from cyber terrorism to corporate negligence for a change. This is coming out from the National Computer Security Association, a mainstream thing, along with Jeff Moss, owner, well, whatever of some, whatever he wants to be. Because this, I mean, honestly, this is part of, this came up as part of my dissertation study, and again, I'm doing books on industrial espionage from an attacker's perspective on the stupid things that allow industrial espionage to occur, like not locking your doors, putting poor passwords and stuff like that. Because again, people buy into the hype like it's these evil Kevin Mitnick geniuses that can cause all this damage that work for companies. That's, again, that's what we're trying to do. So please answer the survey. Yeah.
There you go. What was the image? What did it say?
No, again, that's what I'm trying to get across. It's impression. I mean, you could walk around with a t-shirt saying, fuck you, I actually saw that here. But anyway, you don't walk into a job interview with a fuck you, fuck you, fuck you t-shirt. I'm not, again, it's all appearance and it's all what you're making yourself out to be to the media. And again, there are lots of people here that, I mean, again, you're going to go back, and most of you are going to go back to your suits, you're going to go back to college and not be noticed. But what the images that are going to stick in people's minds are the people wearing the Ted Kaczynski t-shirts. That's what I'm trying, I mean, that's just the point I'm trying to get. You have every right to wear it. I mean, you have every right to wear the formula for how to make a bomb on your t-shirt. But wearing that t-shirt the day after a bombing is just not going to be looked on favorably. That's the only point I'm trying to make.
So is that gas?
What? Right. Oh, no. You don't have to govern your lives, but my point is, if you're going ahead, if Seven and other people are trying here to bring hackers into the mainstream to show them as not a threat, in a gathering where we are the hacker type group, we are the elite hacker group, that's what comes out. I mean, I'm just telling you the impressions of the people I mean, I wasn't even going to bring this up. It's not in my slides. But this are the little old ladies walking through the casinos. That's now their impression of hackers. That's what I'm saying. And you have every right to be a terrorist supporting person if you want to be. That is your right as an American. Well, maybe if you support too much, it's not, but that's beside the point. But the point is, what are you trying to show as, you know, the leaders of the hacker community? What I'm trying to say is, I'm not here to convince everybody not to wear those t-shirts. I'm here to say that if you're somebody who's out there trying to get a job at something, who wants to do penetration tests like I do, who wants to be able to walk into multi-billion dollar corporations and say, I like doing this sort of stuff, or go into an organization like Sun and say, I like to just find bugs in operating systems, you're not going to be able to do that if people like Don Parker of the world have ammunition to say hackers are scum. And yeah. Well, my only thing I'm here to say is that if you're in part of accepting the bad press, you're making laws worse, you're making the press a lot worse, and you're making your impressions worse. And again, I'm not saying most of you could hack 1,000 or 1,000,000 systems. If you don't put that on your resume, nobody's going to know for the most part. And again, the problem is when somebody has been arrested by the federal government, that goes on their resume whether they know it or not. And the point is, I'm trying to get people who are of the impressionable state not to get that record. And again, I have recommendations for it. Stephen Cobb of the NCSA also has other recommendations. There are other things you can do besides of just break into systems mindlessly just for the sake of being there. And, you know, again, there is a rush to it because I obviously get a rush when I steal a few million or billion dollars. But the point is, I do it legally, and I can get away with it. And there are other ways to do it legally. But anyway, let me continue, because we'll have that overhead here any minute. But right now, what we have is pretty much what down to commercial issues. What's going on is what you are displaying to people is situational morality. You're saying, yes, it's a federal crime for me to do unauthorized access. However, it really shouldn't be. Like, me speeding, it's like, yeah, I do it, it's a crime, big deal. I mean, situational morality, yes. However, I have accepted situational morality because everybody does that, but not everybody hacks. And again, that scares people because the situation comes in, if I'm a consultant going into a multi-billion dollar corporation and I go and do a penetration test, unless I find things that they don't want out. You know, for example, I've never done this, and nor would I, as a matter of fact, but if I go into a tobacco company and I find studies that show, just by, you know, again, collecting all the data that I do, that, by the way, yes, we purposefully make our products addictive, yes, they're deadly, and yes, we're going to hide it. You know, how many people would be tempted? That's, you know, if you display situational morality as a whole, that's what they think that you'll do when you get with that. Let me go on. And again, also money. Like, for a while, it's like, well, this is evil money, so it's okay to keep. That's their impression of what you would do if you display situational morality in Area 1. That's what it would do in 2. And yes, speeding is situational morality, but nobody cares. They do care about hacking. And again, in their eyes, and when I've tried to hire a hacker, believe me, I went out to the community, I knocked on doors, called people up, spoke at conferences. I said, how many people, you know, I want to hire a hacker, what do you think? Just to get more backing. You know, almost every time if I was in a group of 3 or more people, one person would say, would you hire a child molester to babysit your children? That's what comes out of them because that's what they think. Again, I think of it kind of more, a lot of people would not much better things to do with their time. That's what I think hacking is for the most part. You know, it's something fun to do and when you don't have a lot of, you know, when you have time on your hands. But they don't look at it that way. They look at it as molesting a computer. And that's the type of people. And again. Okay, possible damage. And again, now I'm just talking about repercussions of hacking. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but companies sue each other for just about everything. You know, every company is being has a multi-million-dollar suit against them by a competitor, another company, somebody, an individual. What will happen if you as a hacker accidentally go in and screw something up? I mean, it'll be fun to make an example of somebody for a change. And that's what you're, you know, and again, it might not be smart, but if it does go public in some way, shape, or form, like the, this wasn't a hacker incident, but when the telephone system went down on Martin Luther King Day in 1990, whatever it was, they wanted to punish people. And again, they would really like to punish people. They couldn't keep it out of the press, but it would be nice to show the press that, by the way, we got those people that did it. And if you accidentally do something that causes damage and it does make the press, they're going to want to make an example out of you. And also, just from my investigations of other computer crimes, I've been tracking down multi-million dollar problems. And in the process, I watch these people who very apparently work for organized crime organizations in some way, shape, or form. They go out to the hacker bulletin board systems, call everybody losers, lamers, whatever the case may be, and they say, if you're not a lamer, you would get me a login on bank A. And then they have some little hacker just going out there trying to find some default password on bank A, and they give it to him. That's accessory to a felony. And a lot of these little teenage hackers don't realize that there are people out there social engineering them to get them to do all their dirty work. And again, that's the problem. If you're not out there, if you're giving out information indiscriminately because everybody has the right to know, that's the problem you could incur. And again, that's accessory to a felony, something that you would look upon very disdainfully. And again, the cost of even handling hacker incidents properly. I was a chair of a hacker panel at the last Information Warfare Conference, and Emmanuel Goldstein and Chris Godwins were both on my panel, and it came up that what do? People have the right to hack, but then what happens? How do you know that they're the hackers? It's like, well, you got to investigate it with all due diligence. Okay, I investigate with all due diligence. In all likelihood, it's going to take me or the company $10,000+ worth of my time to figure out if it's just an innocent hacker or somebody from a criminal organization fishing around, trying to find those extra 6 keystrokes to make. And again, the problem is that incurs a cost to the company. And they could potentially sue those people who are just doing it for fun. And again, that's just the repercussion, and it could happen if things like this become known. And again, another thing from my perspective, and again, the FBI was talking about, I think they did a good job in pointing it out, the audience went silent, but, you know, at any given time, there's for every 1,000 hacker incidents, one of them is probably a part of a criminal, you know, a real criminal attack. And if you're talking about that, what you're doing is acting as a smokescreen for the real criminals. And that's not the type of people you want to be screening. Again, fairly reliable reports that foreign intelligence agencies are out there developing all these hacker tools, giving them out for free, allowing even like the most, you know, even the most inept wares puppy to go out and hack some of the most sophisticated sites. And what happens, you know, then it gets reported as a CERT advisory. And then these, you know, foreign intelligence agencies happen to break into another site. How does the site know it's not a wares puppy versus, you know, a real attack? And again, you do act as a smokescreen. Next thing, the final slide, do the right thing even for the wrong reasons. And again, there are things you could do. I mean, if you're really just interested, like people are claiming, in finding bugs with computers and going out there and practicing being on computers, you could load your operating systems with Linux instead of just Windows and a modem. You could go ahead, get Novell, you know, go work with all your friends to set up your own network just for hacking. You know, get like, you know, I mean, there's a lot of you out there. Get like a little Novell subnet modemed in with somebody else's network, you know, and just practice hacking each other. I mean, CDC is out there trying to go ahead and, you know, they're looking through source code, which is a very good thing. That's a real hack. They're going ahead and looking at things without just hacking just for the high of getting illicit access. That's real hacking. That's where the real challenge is finding new vulnerabilities, not just using a tool for the 150th time. Does everybody agree with that? And that's what you should be trying to do if you really want to go ahead and do this. And again, I'd like to say if you really, you know, if you want to get a job with me, and again, I really like people with a hacker talents and stuff like that, but you got to get a college degree and not a criminal record if you want to work for me. That's, you know, that's a fact. And again, college, and you know, people say, well, what do I need from college? But if you stop and look at it, I think somebody was talking yesterday, I can't remember his name, Yubi? Yobi. He was talking about, you know, thanking the people for finding the Java holes. Who was it? Again, it was Rutgers University, I think it was Purdue, Stanford, and whatever. These are the, Princeton, these are the people coming out with the holes. I mean, maybe CDC comes out with some, but not everybody has the talent of the people in CDC. You develop the talents at these colleges. And again, these people are really finding the vulnerabilities. There's nothing dirty about a college degree. And again, it also makes you a more well-rounded person, so I can get you, put you into a business environment so you understand the business process, like Doug was mentioning yesterday. In order to be effective, you have to understand business. What, the minority of hackers who are old enough to have a, I don't know. All I know, again, it's a misconception, but I don't want people to come and tell me I've been hacking systems for 20 years. I want people to come and tell me, well, I do know a lot about the operating systems, and, you know, knowing a lot about the operating systems, I don't want to know how you know a lot about the operating systems. You know, I can justify hiring somebody because they got a degree from a good school, and by the way, after talking to them, they really know a lot about send mail problems for some reason. Oh, I'm not saying that. That's some of them. It's a fact that there are some people like Bill Gates who can make billions after dropping out of college. That's a fact. But if I am, let me just say, if I'm going to hire somebody, I have my choice of a lot of very talented people with college degrees and a lot of very talented people without them. I can charge the people I consult to more. I can go ahead and, anyway, yeah, you've been... No. In all honesty, I don't need anybody to tell people that there's a threat. There's more than enough work to turn away right now. That, I mean, it is very helpful for getting some of the better contracts. But, I mean, again, it gets people interested. You know, the ones that I don't try to focus on the hackers. I try to focus on the FBI studies that say industrial espionage is a $100 billion crime and those things. Yeah. Right. Let me tell you about those studies, and that's why we're trying to do that study out there. The issue is that we can't, if we don't do our own study, it's not right for us to comment on it. I mean, we can say, based upon our reading of the data, it's this. But the people that get the coverage are the people that put it out. The White House just kind of shoved out the $100 billion figure one day. I mean, and if I get this stuff, if I get good results that are usable, we can put out 98% of all hacking is preventable. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, go ahead.
I want to disagree with you just on one issue.
Okay.
About this issue of policy and greed. No offense, I think it's bullshit. And because tens of thousands of jobs out there that say, if you know something's tech involved, you can work 60, 80 hours a week from home, in the office, no time required, and I'll pay you 40 to 50 grand to do it.
Absolutely.
Clean up your act a little bit, go in, go for it, you do what everybody else does, sign up for 20, you'll get one of them. And maybe it's been hacking, making it almost becoming a non-issue in a lot of places. They want the technical skills down the
back. Right. Let me respond to it. Okay, well, let me respond to that. The problem is, and again, lots of people in college have the hacker background as well. And I'm not saying that they don't, but the issue is I can find a lot of good people with a college degree that I could charge more for. Additionally, that's one thing, and that also have a little bit more maturity in the areas that I'm concerned with. Writing is very important, being able to be more well-rounded, being able to understand economics and the business perspectives is also important, because again, I was mentioning yesterday during, I think it was Doug's presentation, that information valuation and being able to make the business understand the implications is what really sells companies. And again, I'm not saying that's the perfect solution, but I'm saying if I have my choice of two very qualified people with the same knowledge or skills, I'm going to opt for the college degree unless I want to pay somebody less. Well, the survey was made specifically so I could fit on one page and not be intrusive. I was trying to get as much in there as possible without trying to ask identifying information and while fitting on a single page. Yeah, you are. Yeah, well, honestly, you should look at my papers, which states, well, no, let me just address this. If you go ahead and look at my papers, you'll see that's exactly what I say. However, what I'm not here to say what the problem is. I'm here to just try to tell the repercussions of what's going on here. And I've been trying to point out for a long time that things are inside jobs. Again, I stole billions of dollars by getting a job as a temporary. And I published that. And I try to highlight that it can be done. But yes, the crimes are also being done, and just because the majority of the crime comes from one source, it doesn't mean that people are going to ignore the other source of criminal activity. And that's the issue. The media wants to put hackers in headlines. John Markoff just wants to get, he would love to have another Kevin Mitnick up there. And the issue is that if you give him fodder for stories, that's what's going to go up. I am not saying that the problems aren't insiders. You know the problems are insiders. I'm just here to tell you, when I've been trying to hire a hacker, these have been the problems I've incurred. Again, if you want to do criminal activity, that's the way to do it. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But again, that doesn't justify criminal activity from any source. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, you. You all, in my, well, yes it is, it's mostly you do learn a lot of bullshit. No, you do, well, no. Again, a college degree is looked upon for no other reason for a lot of companies other companies pay more for a person with a college degree than not with a college degree. And my point was that there are an awful lot of people that are very talented with a degree, and when you're looking at somebody with a degree versus without a degree, you're going to opt for the with a degree program. It's in general the case. I mean, let me try to tell you. Let me just address this and go on to another question. Because the hacker I wanted to hire, and again, DT knows who he is, I don't really want to say if he doesn't want it mentioned. The hacker that I wanted to hire does not have a college degree. I kept the spot open for 4 months until the issue was resolved, because I knew he had the talents that really mattered. And I'm trying to say that if somebody comes to me off the street, all things being equal, and again, I've tried to show with this other case that I look beyond just the college degree. But I'm saying, if all things being equal, you come to me saying, I hacked and I'm just out of high school, somebody comes to me and says, hopefully they don't come to me and say, I've hacked and all that stuff. But if they say, I have this talent and I can ask a few questions, little petty things that only real hackers would know, and I find somebody with a college degree that knows it and somebody without a college degree, and I have the money to pay the person with a college degree, again, just let me point out, those people do get paid more and will continue to get paid more for various reasons. But anyway, I can beat that into the ground more, yeah. Remember what I said. I said, all things being equal, I will hire the person with a college degree. And let's face it, there are an awful lot of people with college that are not just sitting there taking Unix 101 and 102. They're out there, the reality of the college environment is these are the people finding a lot of the new vulnerabilities coming out. They are doing good work in some of the better colleges, and I'm not here to try to debate the college degree versus the non-college degree. You've kind of stuck on that. I'm trying to say that if you want to hack, and this is for the impressionable people that are out there, quote unquote, if you want to hack, you got to be able to assume some of the repercussions. And I'm telling you, the repercussions for gaining momentary highs that have gained into individual systems do not outweigh the potential damages that could happen to the rest of your life. Again, there are good things you can do to get that same high by doing other things, and that's what some of the leaders of the hacker community are trying to do. They're out there, again, people trying to say, look at the Unix source code. Don't just be a where's puppy. Look at the internals of the system that you could get your hands on. That's the point. Nobody's going to admit to it, and you know it, yeah. Right now, it's going to be put on the web on the NCSA homepage, the DEF CON page. However, it's also going to go out to my better contacts at USA Today, Washington Post, New York Times, and a few other places, because publishing is irrelevant unless it's accompanied by a good press release. And that's what we're trying to do, is get the press release out there to get the headlines to say, let's look at what the problem is, not what the symptoms are. No, they want to show what sells, and if they get a study, and somebody here from NBC, if they get a study that says, wait a second, this is a whole new angle on it, they'll take a look at it. Yeah, go ahead. That's exactly what I'm trying to encourage hackers to do, is to do legal things with their talents and not go out there just to try to access sites for the sake of accessing them. It keeps you off, I mean, it gets you better experience, and it keeps you off the federal, you know, criminal record. That's the point of this whole talk. Again, just try to do other things that are much more useful and show much more intelligence and capability. And that's what that, unfortunately, I think latest studies, 25 to 50,000 hackers. Do you think those 25 to 50,000 hackers are looking at Unix source code? No, they're out there downloading war dialers and other things. That's the problem. And you are the people in this audience that are looked upon by those little wares puppies out there. And the example you set, you know, if you come out and start pounding people for doing stupid things, you might start having good arguments. It might start being beneficial and get people's attention. Yeah. Let them talk for a change. Well, let me comment on this, because I'm also, I mean, this is something I don't usually point up too much, but I'm also on the faculty of Johns Hopkins and University of Maryland. And I am not sitting here saying that a college degree is a real qualification. A college degree is another piece of paper that tries to that infers another level of involvement. But what you're trying to do, misconceptions boil down to money. Again, you look at the studies and stop sitting here trying to defend not having a college education, and you start looking at the benefits. Okay, wait a second. Hold on. Could we just say that there are some people in the audience that feel that a college education really is not a good indication of skill, while other people in the audience, like me, say, it might not be a good indication of anything, but it gets you a lot more money, and all things being equal, it's worth it. And now let's forget about this and go on to something more useful, like in the 5 minutes. Okay. Wait. Yeah. There. Okay. The. Oh.
And they had found evidence that they hired someone to kill Hefty. Would you admit that?
There are. Let me say in the first place that there are clear different things. In some cases, there are places where I prefer not to get into the moral situations like where we're dealing with a tobacco company. However, the question was. He's like, if you get into it, don't you have some sort of moral or legal responsibility if you see something to go ahead and report it? There are, what? Okay, moral, social responsibility. There are different moral and social responsibilities. If a company hires me and I agree to, if I agree to their conditions that I might see a lot of stuff that they don't want to get out, and I agree that I'm not going to release it, I have a moral obligation because I was damn well stupid in signing up to something that's going to show bad things. Let me finish the question. If, on the other hand, if there's an interference between a moral and legal responsibility, I'm sorry, a moral legal by contractual legal and actually a legal damage to people legal responsibility, that's another story. And again, I'm not, that's again something that has to be identified on a case-by-case basis. But the reason that they companies hire me, you know, I have a good reputation, and they know I'm not going to go ahead and give away secrets haphazard. Well, I'm not going to go ahead and give away secrets. They know that when I sign up to a responsibility, I do it. And honestly, I tell companies, if there's things you don't want me to find out about, you better not hire me. Because, you know, again, I'm not out there to start, like, giving away secrets. But if they start showing me something which kills people, that's another story in my perspective. Anyway, yeah. Hands, anything? Yeah.
Yeah, when is your book coming out? And are you going to cover mostly hackers or mostly insiders doing the status?
Okay, my book is, it's actually the cover of the Prima Publishing book catalog for the winter. It should be out in March, April. And what I'm covering primarily are acts of industrial espionage and computer-related crimes where the computer was used as a tool. And let me tell you what I mean, my cases have all been one is an insider, one is a telephone, social engineering, that most people know me for. Another one is I'm interviewing Bill Gates, the guy that stole the Pentium chip. I'm interviewing the French head of industrial espionage, well, the former head of industrial espionage. I'm also interviewing former GRU agents. That's where my stories are coming from, and you can infer if that means I'm talking about hackers or whatever. Thanks.